Why do we use a better platform?
Let me call to order the Monday, June 6th meeting of the Police Judicial and Legal Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council. Good to see you all here. Item number two on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the May 2nd meeting. Do we have a motion?
I'm going to approve, I'm going to make a statement.
All right, so we have a motion, we have a second, you have the floor.
All I'm going to say is there was a scribbler's error that I corrected before the meeting, so just in case anybody else read the minutes, they'll know that what the error was corrected.
Okay, thank you. All in favor of approval, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Item number three is public comment. If you would like to make a comment, please come forward, give your name and address. Two and a half minutes today, please. Any public comments?
Joe Green. Speaking on so-called decorum ordinance today, this appears to be an attempt to show the right of citizens to exercise their God-given constitutional rights. The more you restrict free speech, the more avenues of free speech that people will find. You don't have any say at the when, where, and how, as long as it's done responsibly. For example, as public officials, you can be picketed. Picketing is protected speech. If you're acting in an official capacity, such as using the town vehicle to get to an event, that's an official action. Trying to rein in speech will never silence we the people. This has been shown over centuries of American jurisprudence. A better way is to stop allowing egregious abuses of power. The council has a checks and balances all over itself. Dragging children into politics, disparaging people for their place of birth, threatening local news reporters, issuing extensive propaganda plans, all these have happened under this mayor. You think we the people are going to sit silently after that? Think again.
Anyone else?
All right, that closes public comment.
Excuse me, I have a comment.
Oh, sorry.
Will Hayden, 316 Mount Court. I have the copies of some documents approved by a court, a police report from the town of Mount Pleasant, and a newspaper report about an incident that was just referred to. I'd like to enter this into the minutes. This has already been approved by our legal counsel for correction of any misstatements. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone else for public comment? All right, I'm turning the chair back over to the mayor.
Thank you very much. Item number four, police matters, employee years of service recognition. Chief Arnold.
Employees that to be recognized are out of town. We'll recognize them internally and express your gratitude in the well-wishing session.
Thank you. Hope they're getting a little summer vacation, maybe. Item number five is judicial employee years of service recognition.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is my honor this morning to recognize Kimberly Gilliard for 15 years of service. She began her career 15 years ago today, on June 6, 2007, in the role of corporate specialist. Kim was responsible for processing paperwork as well as payments for defense at the court transaction limit. Kim also had the tremendous responsibility of generating bench warrants for those individuals who did not comply with court. In 2018, Kim transitioned from the transaction area to the operations side of the office. Here, Kim put all her efforts into learning the role of court clerk. In this position, Kim's responsibilities include working alongside the judge in court, ascertaining the daily docket's accuracy, updating dispositions, as well as many other clerical and administrative duties. Kim's success over the years is based on her hard work, determination, and drive to succeed. Kim is cross-trained on numerous positions in the department, which is a very huge asset. Every project Kim is assigned is one more challenge she is willing and able to master. For this reason, Kim will be an instrumental part of the implementation and transition to our new court software. Kim's ability to grasp new concepts and communicate the information to teammates will help ease the learning process for the newer members of our staff. Kim, I appreciate all the work you do for the department, and on behalf of the town, I'd like to thank you for 15 years of service.
That concludes item five. Item six is legal matters and update on the noise ordinance pilot program. Who will be doing that today? Chief, thank you.
Good morning again, Director Rivers. You have before you a spreadsheet that is the focus of the pilot program, which is data collection. For the month of May, we responded to 14 citizen complaints and noise. The highlighted yellow section of the nine proactive police department measures we've been measuring as we go along different locations. In the month of May, police department responded to 5,746 calls. Noise was only 24 calls, so it's a very, very small percentage of the calls for service and daily activities. We are, however, this is the beginning of the summer. I do expect some of an increase in calls for service, but I don't believe this can be orders for us to continue this program and continue tracking and recording the data. Highest noise from the citizen complaint is 70 decibels. The lowest was 49, average of 62 decibels. We do have a repeat location, which is one of the high school in the stadium. We've been working with the school district on that. So if you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Chief. Somebody remind me the duration of our pilot program. Is it through July, I believe it was?
I believe it was 9 days.
Right. Started May 1st.
May 1st, okay. So we are not halfway through yet?
Correct. This okay. is the first month, each month we provide an update.
Okay. And so on the proactive police department measures, that was just going out and saying this might be a good data.
Right. And if you look at times, these are predominantly around Shin Creek and businesses in the evenings where we see live music, bands, live music. In each of those instances, those were not citizens calling to complain to make us aware of it. It was just us proactively checking and taking some measurements.
Okay. One of the things I'm wondering about as we go along with this, we all know the entertainment venues, but the stadium issue is going to be complex. Stadiums are big. We have big events there every Friday night in the fall, plus many other things. I'm not sure what they were doing there. What was the date on that?
It's a graduation, I think, or like that.
That was May the 4th.
There was a senior day.
Yeah.
ROTC event.
Okay.
Couple of organized school events that were taking place out in the stadium.
Is there something that can happen there, like the volume be turned down? Is that kind of the remedy?
That's why we're working with the school district.
Okay.
We'll report back on that. Sorry.
Okay. Committee member?
Thank you so much for the update.
Ms. Chapman?
I guess the question I have is when the police were out being proactive, which is a great thing. How was that received when you approached the locations where there was a violation?
We weren't interacting with the businesses. They were stopping by business. They weren't going in and telling them anything. This was just collecting the data. So it wasn't a matter of us telling the business you're too loud or not too loud because we hadn't received a complaint.
Okay. Thank you.
If there's any other input, Chief, that you or legal has as we get closer to taking action on this at the end of the 90 days, please let us know.
We'll keep collecting data.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else on the noise ordinance pilot program?
Mayor, just to follow up, the data will continue to come and we'll look at that as it relates to the language or proposals. And, you know, the stadium issue is, you know, summer. We may or may not have some additional data on that. But always keep in mind the council does have the option to extend the period if council wishes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else? All right. Let's move on to item 6B, discussion and possible action related to public comment and allotted time during public meetings. I don't know, Mr. Pagloni, if you have anything for us that you want to start with, but.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. Mayor and committee, we have brought back to you section 30.36 based on last month's meeting. and you will see with the underlined, which are new in the structures, which would be replaced, this is based on community comments, and the direction to add, instead of 1 to 3 minutes at discretion of the chair, to regard 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And then the last sentence would be that the mayor or chair of any public meeting may give preference to speakers who wish to comment on published agenda items. And that, of course, would be discretionary to the chair. For Robert's rules, of course, any decision of the chair is subject to council appeal and vote if council does not wish for that to happen.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Just on a point of clarification on giving preference to, I guess, is that too vague? Is that, how is that going to be defined? Is that allowing them to speak first? That's just.
Yes, ma'am, that is the intent, and certainly if community wishes to, for some more structured language, we can provide preference meaning speak first, all items on the agenda to speak first, and then any follow-up. That is fairly difficult to administer.
Yeah. So but I think that I like the concept of giving preference, but I just want to make it clear to the public that this does not mean that people who are speaking not on an agenda item are not allowed to speak. They will still be permitted to speak. It just maybe if we have 100 speakers, preference would go towards those who are speaking on an actual agenda item.
Right. We'll add in their preference in order of speaking and not restricted to either time or exclusion.
That would be good. And you know, we do something similar now. We call names of people who sign up. And they do get preference, and then at the end we say if there's anyone that either did not sign up or didn't have the opportunity, then they get to speak. So that doesn't mean they're not allowed to speak, and you can come in here and talk about UFOs if you want to. But those who did sign up are always called before those who did not. So, yes, sir.
Mayor, and I just want to add to that particular language that I specifically asked for that because there are times when we have a number of speakers who have come for a particular item on the agenda. And, you know, the individuals may need to get home because of their children or for other reasons. So the idea was that if we have an agenda and we're inviting for a public hearing, as an example, people to come and give us comments regarding an item on the agenda, that we recognize why they're here. We want people to come for the public comment about anything, but those people who are specifically here for that and may have a reason that they can't stay for the whole meeting till the end, when that item may be coming up, that they at least have an opportunity to speak.
Any other comments on that? Are we looking to bring back some improved language on that at next month's committee?
Mayor, if you wish for it to come back, if not, we can submit it to council this week and add it to the agenda next week for first reading.
I'm comfortable with it moving forward. I'd like to move that we recommend adoption of this change to full council for Tuesday's meeting.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. All right, we'll see it on next Tuesday's agenda. Item 6C, discussion and possible action on a proposed ordinance regarding decorum during public meetings.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This is a follow-up to last month's meeting where the committee discussed disturbances and the like at public meetings, and we were asked to go back and review other ordinances, our ordinances related to disturbance in and on town-owned properties. Chief Ritchie, who's not with us today, made some comments about the potential adequacy of our ordinances, and we have reviewed the same. And right now, Mayor and Committee, I would bring attention, though not in front of you, I believe we have two ordinances in place that wouldn't be effective, and that also could possibly be changed if committee wishes for us to bring those back. And I will point those out. First is 134.02, which is the ordinance interference with officers and employees. And that provides that no person shall carelessly or willfully interfere with, resist, hinder, or obstruct any officer or employee of the municipality who is engaged in, route to, or returning from performance of additional duty. And that could be an obstruction by threat, assault, or otherwise. So that is on the books. One thing this committee and the public council could consider is whether to extend that to public officials. That would be a logical extension of that ordinance that is already on the books. The second is 134.04, which is courtesy due to and from officers and employees. Once again, this is about depriving any person, such as an officer or employee, whether they're aggrieved by conduct, they have to bring the matter to the attention. And members of the public should in turn be courteous in their transactions with officers and employees. It shall be unlawful for any person to knowingly taunt, deride, jeer, or otherwise ridicule or debase, whether by act, word, or gesture, any officer or employee at the time or place, while such officer or employee is lawfully engaged in the performance of any official duty. Once again, that provision on the books could be extended to public officials and the like. All of this, of course, when I say this, these two ordinances specifically are subject to freedom of speech, constitutional rights, but there is the authority in any government body or jurisdiction to limit those types of actions, whether they're threatening or the like. But there is clearly a line that, and we believe adding public officials to these two ordinances would be appropriate if this committee and council wishes to do so.
Okay. Mr. Chen?
Yes, sir. Why would public officials not necessarily be employees of the town in terms of the definition?
It could be.
Without even having to change the ordinance.
It could be. We just felt that for clarification purposes, I know there's always been a discussion as to employee status, and that becomes a legal issue as to whether there are employees. Of course, one of the reasons you write an ordinance for clarity is so that the public can understand that. And so I understand your point is well made and I think legally accurate. The issue would be for enforcement purposes and knowledge and as a deterrent.
Okay. I expected that response in terms of being accurate. I guess it's up to other members of the committee to want to make that extension, change the ordinance.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
My question is not, or my thought is not limiting to whether you're an employee, an officer, or an elected official, but your conduct on town property. It could be at a recreation, it could be at a game, it could be at a performance, and it could be citizen to citizen. It could be a really bullying situation or obnoxious behavior towards a, I guess a referee at a game would be an official of the town, I'm not sure, but to other parents or something like that. I mean, I would like to see this apply to town property and it's mostly belligerent behavior. I know that there is a ordinance, and I don't know the number, David, that has to do with belligerent behavior on school properties, and that's the way it's, I think, worded, belligerent behavior. I think it ought to be about belligerent behavior on all town property.
And Mayor, again, excellent. I do believe these cover that because it really is about officials. But to your point, we could, I believe, for clarity, and once again, for the purpose of deterrent, expand it further to say on public property.
Okay.
And we can have that language as well. And what we would do, in this case, I would recommend taking these ideas, allowing us to work with the ordinance, we'll bring them back to you, and then you can look at the specific language.
I would like to see that, and to give our citizens the same protection on public property that we would like to have as elected officials.
The question that I have is about Robert's rules and the usage of that in conducting meetings. Is there provisions within Robert's rules that permit the chair to end belligerent behavior, question removal of someone from the room should there? And I guess where does that rule end and the ordinances begin, or do they overlap? Just trying to understand the distinction.
Oh, sure, yes, ma'am. I think, first of all, we're talking about two distinctions. One is a procedural mechanism in Robert's rules, which does authorize the chair to do that. The second, remember, this is in our criminal penalties section, so this is the added element of those being able to be fined and like for such behavior. This is an additional layer. I do believe that Robert's rules already covers the ability for the chair to do that. I think one of the unfortunate procedural items is that what we're asking you as counsel, or really any chair in any meeting, our citizen appointed conditions to take those actions is often very difficult. Mm-hmm. And without the penalty element, that gives our law enforcement, provides them some authority to handle those situations on their own. So I do think both would be appropriate.
I think that this is, I agree with the mayor. I think that extending this courtesy to citizens as well, clarifying the language for public officials, and then also extending it to citizens so that we have a level of expectation for behavior. I don't think it's chilling anything. I don't think it's deterring anything. These ordinances are already on the books as far as behavior goes, and I think just doing some clarification and sort of extending that to citizens is not going to be chilling anyone's freedom of speech.
No. I'll say again, I think our standard ought to be as high as Walmart's. If it gets kicked out of Walmart, it ought to get kicked off town property. That's not protected speech, bullying, harassing, whether it's citizen to citizen or citizens to elected officials or elected officials to citizens. That's not protected speech, as you pointed out.
And Mayor, to your point, last month, this is over the last few years an emerging, I say emerging, sadly it's become fairly necessary in many jurisdictions across the country, and we are seeing it a little more. And so there is a good bit of support for what you all just mentioned as far as restricting those types of activities and speech is well settled by our court. So obviously that's the point where we are.
Correct. So what's the will of the committee? Is to have this brought back with expanded language next month?
Yes, so moved.
Yeah, I think we just need to have some examples and take a look at it.
Would you second that?
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, motion passes. Thank you very much. Item D is executive session for receipt of legal advice relating to pending litigation entitled KCK Properties LLC versus Town of Mount Pleasant. Is there a motion to go into executive session for that purpose?
Second. Second.
All right, before we vote, the committee may take action on any item, including any subsection of any section listed on an executive session agenda or discussed in an executive session during a properly noticed meeting, which this is. All in favor of the motion to go into executive session, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Are we going into the courtroom?
Yes, sir.
So we have reconvened from executive session. We are now back in open session. In executive session, no action was taken, no votes were cast. Is there any motion or any action to result as a result of information received? There being none, we have completed our agenda, and we stand adjourned.